Well, if you have your Bibles, we'll turn to that passage that we read together in the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 7. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. I want to speak tonight on the man. On the man who walked home from his own funeral. The man who walked home from his own funeral. So we want to take the Lord's face and ask for his help in the preaching of the word. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for thy great love. We praise thee for the voice of praise that has risen from our hearts tonight. What a blessing it has been to our souls to sing praises unto thee. Now, Father, we return to the preaching of thy word. We acknowledge it is the entrance of thy word that giveth light. And we pray that thou would help us to proclaim the word that you've laid upon our heart. And we pray, Father, that thou would speak to those, especially who's in without Christ, that they'll hear not the preacher's voice, but the voice of Christ. Draw sinners to thyself. Save the lost tonight in all of thy great love and mercy. And glorify thy name in the salvation of souls. Close us in with thyself. Defeat the devil. Lord, thy word tells us that he comes to take away the seed out of our hearts, lest they believe and be saved. Bind the strong man tonight and spoil his goods. Cover us, Lord, we pray, in the precious blood of Christ. Let the gospel tonight be preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We do know on this Lord's Day that we have been reminding ourselves that the Lord Jesus is alive. The Lord Jesus is victorious over death, over sin, over Satan, and over hell. Up from the grave we have been singing, He arose. Praise God, He is alive forevermore. And this morning's service, we were looking at the infallible proofs that He is alive. We have went by faith to the empty sepulchre. Like the ladies in the Bible, they looked in and they had to confess that they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. We have read the Bible, how the Lord Jesus appeared time and time again to disciples and to different people in different places and at different times. For 40 days he showed the people around him that he was alive. We cannot be surprised at this truth. When you think who the Lord Jesus is, remember he said in John 11 verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. We rejoice tonight, there's life, abundant life in Christ. And we say tonight from this pulpit that all life in this universe and all life in this world, it's all found in Christ. And if you haven't got Christ, you haven't got life. We look around the world, there are people and they think they have got life. They think they have got joy. But it's all a delusion. There's no life without Christ. Thank God, He gives life. He gives life to us who are dead in sin. He gives life to those who are held by the very chains of the devil. And He, in great mercy, He sets the prisoner free. And that's what He's done for many of us in this meeting. He has brought us from the grave of death. And we are alive. We are new people. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. This is, dear friends, the power of the resurrection. This is the demonstration of the power of the resurrection life of Christ.
He is the resurrection and the life, but praise God, He gives life. He's brought us up out of the deadness of sin. We are alive. And praise God, His people is alive forevermore. And here it is demonstrated before us. The Lord Jesus can raise the dead. Are you held tonight in the deadness of sin? Are you held tonight in the snares of Satan? Praise God, the Lord Jesus can set you free. Here we find in this passage, they come across a young man who was dead to be buried. And yet we find in the mercy and the compassion and the power of the Lord Jesus, He raises up this young man. Brings him to life before all around him. And as I said, he is the man who walked home from his own funeral. Here we find Christ at a funeral, giving life, giving hope to those who were held in darkness. He is, no doubt, the resurrection and the life. We want to look then tonight at this funeral, at this city of Nain, and learn wonderful lessons concerning Christ and the gospel. First of all, we can see here the misery of this funeral. As you and I would cast our mind back to the city of Nain and our eyes upon the gate of this city, we see a funeral approaching us. And we can see immediately by the reading of this word that this is a very, very sad funeral. It's a funeral of a young man. It says in verse 14, young man. His age is not given. His name is not given. It does not tell us why he's dead. It doesn't say, well, it was sickness or an accident, natural causes. But here's a funeral of a young man. We just said tonight, he was cut down in the very prime of life. He had all his plans, he had all his ambitions, he had all his health, he had his strength, he had everything to live for, we would say, but suddenly and without warning, he is cut down. Could you imagine the shock going through the city? Did you hear that young so and so was dead? Could you imagine what it was like? No doubt the whole city of Nain came to a standstill as they watched this funeral. You and I know tonight that these funerals can be the saddest of all. Which one of us, when we go to a funeral, we watch a father or a mother lift their child and follow their son or daughter's coffin to the grave? Which one of us has not been touched? Which one of us has heart has not been broken as we've seen them shed tears around the grave? Dear friends, they're hard funerals to be at. I was at one not so long ago, and I tell you this, I thought it was my own. I felt it was my own in the coffin, though it wasn't. Could you imagine then the misery of this funeral? There it was, a young man taken out of this scene of time, and he's dead. You don't have to be old to die. And I say that again, you don't have to be old to die. Many young people in our congregation, and we're all probably thinking the same, we have to be old to die. We have to wait till we get older and pension and all the rest, and then we fall off the conveyor belt, we've reached the end. You don't have to be old to die. It was the last night or the night before, wasn't there, about three people killed in Belfast in a car accident. Here is a sad funeral, because it's a funeral of a young man. Also, the measure of this funeral is seen that it was the only son. The only son, verse 12, of his mother. Could you imagine the pain this woman was feeling? We could say this fellow, he was the apple of his mother's eye. Can you begin to imagine the pain and the sorrow that this woman felt as she followed her son to the grave? You know what verse 13 says? She was weeping. She was crying. Because the Lord Jesus said to her, "Weep not," you see. It's bad enough to lose one of your children, but to lose the only one, that is a severe pain, friends. You read the Bible, it talks about mourning and weeping and sadness in the hearts of people. And God describes such. He uses this terminology. As one mourneth for his only son. And God is telling us over there in Zechariah 12 and verse 10 about the Jews, how they will mourn when they see the coming of the King and when the Lord Jesus comes back again. And he says they will mourn. They will weep. And God tells us the pain they're going to feel. He said it's like somebody mourning for an only son. Because, friends, I believe that is the fierce pain of all. And here we find in the Bible, it was this woman's only son. Think of the pain that David felt when Absalom was killed. He said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom. My God, I had died for thee. Absalom, my son." And David is brokenhearted, and who can blame him? And David's heart is full of sadness, and he's weeping, and he's crying over Absalom. But he had other sons. He had other sons. But this woman had only one. The only son she had. All her hope was built up on this lad. But now, dear friends, he is gone. Also, can I say about this mystery of this funeral? She was a widow, because verse 12 tells us she was a widow. You see, she had walked this way before. This woman had come out through the gates of the city and she had followed another coffin, but this time before it was her husband. But now she must do it all again. Dear friends, it reveals she was weeping. I can say this, she couldn't help it. She couldn't help. She could do nothing else. She had followed her husband. She had lost her husband. Now her son, and her only son, was taken away. So you can imagine the heartache and sorrow of this funeral. It wouldn't have been an easy funeral to be at, to be honest. Walking behind the coffin of her son, tracing the same steps she had walked before. You can see also the mention of this funeral, that there was much people at the funeral, because verse 12 tells us, and much people of the city was with her. Much people. Dear friends, the place would have been absolute shock at the death of this young man. Many turned up for this funeral. They too felt the sadness that this woman was feeling. No doubt they were weeping. No doubt there were many hearts were broken in this cry following the coffin. There was much people at the funeral. It was a big funeral. Oh dear friends, we do know that one of the biggest funerals you'll ever attend is a funeral of a young person. Other funerals, maybe we can pick and choose. And we maybe go to the home and say, "Listen, we sympathise with you at the wakes." Maybe it's sometimes hard to attend the funeral. But you know, when it's a funeral of a young person, you seem to make the time. You seem to get the time to go. Because you want to go. And you want to stand with the family. And you want to support them. Because you know something of the pain that they feel within their heart. You see, this was a great funeral. It's a very sad occasion. You know, spiritually speaking, there's a great picture of the sinner in all of this. And maybe a young man or a young woman in this meeting, even older, and you're dead.
spiritually dead.
The Bible, and Paul writes and says in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And oh, that the unsaved would see this tonight. Instead of having life, you have nothing but death. Nothing in your life. Nothing to give to God. Nothing but death. And going towards death. Dead in trespasses and in sin. If you're not saved, you're like a young man in the passage. Young man in the passage. Maybe people's been weeping over you. Maybe people have been crying. You see, its virgin says, many a Hannah has become a woman of sorrowful spirit through her own child. Maybe there's young people here tonight and parents are weeping over you. Praying that you might be saved. And I have no doubt tonight, for everyone who's unsaved in this meeting, that there's somebody praying for you. Maybe with heavy hearts. If I went to Bible college one time, there's a young girl, and she used to pray, and we'd have a prayer time in the morning, and she was in Belfast, and the only way that Belfast people could speak, she used to pray, Lord, save my mama. And before she got to the end of it, she was crying. Many a time she couldn't finish it. She went through the door. You know, friends, one day she came into college, or into the college, and she says, Mommy saved. But I tell you this, it was weeping, you see. You're unsaved in this meeting tonight, and somebody's weeping over your soul. Why? Because they're concerned. They see the danger that you're in, that you're in your sin, and been carried down towards death and down towards hell to be lost for all eternity. And that's not easy for a parent to see their children or to see anyone tonight. And carried down towards the grave and to hell. Maybe much people are concerned about you. Tell me, is this funeral procession a picture of your life? Have you been carried along, listen, with the crowd? The crowd can carry you tonight. Or where will the crowd carry you tonight? They'll carry you down towards hell. That's where they'll carry you. They'll take you away from Christ. They'll take you down to the caverns of the dam. That's where the crowd will take you. He had a very sad funeral. Here is a young man, dead, been carried to the grave. Much weeping, much people at the funeral. Can I say the meeting at the funeral? We can see in this passage, as a young man was carried out to the grave, he met the Savior. Now, if you read verse 11, it says, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now, can we picture what is happening here outside the gate of this city? Here on this side is the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And listen, there's much people with Christ. There's a great crowd with them. All following in Christ, listening to him preaching the word of God. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the city. And on the other side, coming out, is another crowd. It is a funeral procession. And we see them coming closer and closer and closer to each other until they come face to face. Two crowds here mentioned. And I want you to notice this. One of the crowds is following Christ. This crowd's following a coffin. One is following the one who is life. And the other crowd, what are they doing? Well, they're following the crowd that is death. And dear friends, that's the way it is tonight. That's the way it is with the world. That's the way it is in this church tonight. In this town, in this province tonight. That's the way it is in this world. There's a crowd in this meeting and they're following Christ. And we rejoice to be following Christ. Who is life.
But then there's others, and they're following the coffin. They're following death. Which crowd are you in? Which crowd are you in tonight?
Are you following the coffin? Sin and death, destruction. Or are you following Christ? Here were these two crowds coming together. See them coming closer and closer until eventually the whole possession, both possessions comes to a halt. And there's the Saviour. And there's the coffin. Face to face. Some may say tonight, what a strange coincidence.
I don't believe it.
You know what's called, friends? The providence of God. There is a God in heaven who works out all things after the counsel of his own will. And I want to say to you tonight, this young man's mother had not planned such a meeting. The young man who was dead, he certainly had not planned it. His neighbours had not planned that he would meet the Saviour as he would be carried to the grave. But I want to say tonight,
God had planned it. God had planned this.
That his son would come face to face with this funeral possession. The Lord Jesus, it tells us in this passage, had travelled 25 miles from Capernaum to get to the city. Listen, 10 minutes later, he would have missed the funeral. The young man would have been placed in the grave. But he died at the right time, and he was going to be buried at the right time. When the Savior of the world would come through the gates of the city. You see, dear friends, the Lord knows how to arrange all things. The Lord arranged the meeting. And I want you to think, here are the meeting of the two only sons. This young lad was an only son of his mother. Listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The two of them were only sons. And here they are. Christ is life, and the young man was dead. And they met in the providence of God. They met in the providence of the Lord, you see. And I want to say to everyone tonight in this congregation, nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by chance. As you know, it's not by chance that you're here tonight. Any of us. Maybe you say, well, so-and-so asked me to come. Well, that may be the so. But nevertheless, God has brought us all together into his house here tonight. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 verse 11, in whom also we have obtained inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel. Listen, of his own will. God is God. And God is sovereign. And God brings us all together. And God has brought people in tonight into this service. Maybe from different places. Maybe you don't usually come to the service. But nevertheless, remember this, God has brought you in. By your own save tonight. That you would hear the gospel. That you would hear how Christ can save you. How he can give you everlasting life, you see. As William Cowper wrote those words, God moves in a mysterious way as his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storms. And dear friends, nobody had planned this meeting. Nobody in the town. None of the disciples. But God had. And God has brought you in tonight to come face to face with Christ through the preaching of the gospel. Because we do know according to the Bible that when we preach Christ, Christ is uplifted before you. Remember Paul wrote in Galatians 3 verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? How was Christ set forth crucified among them? Because Paul was writing to this church by the preaching. Christ had been preached to this people. He had been preached to them that he made a sacrifice for sin and that he shed his blood, that he could save them forevermore if they would trust him with all of their heart. And we do thank God when the gospel is preached, Christ is uplifted. That's why we pray in the prayer meetings that none would be seen but Jesus only. Dear friends, tonight, listen. You've come face to face, not with the preacher, but with Christ. Maybe God has stopped you in your life. Sometimes he has to stop things. And he comes in, and as we say, put a spanner in the works to get you to stop. In order that you would look and see Christ. In order that you'd be brought face to face with Christ. And all about your sin. And how the Lord, in great mercy, can save you. Revealing to you your sin and the danger that you're in. And revealing to you that Christ can save you. And God plans this. God has planned this meeting. You can be sure of it. There's many of us here tonight. We're saved by the grace of God. And we can tell how our footsteps maybe went to a certain meeting. And you know the sermon was all for us. Because God has planned it. And here we have at the meeting at this funeral. We have Christ coming in. And with a young man and the crowd. And they're coming out. And they're brought face to face. Tonight they're brought face to face with Christ. He is among his people. Tonight they're challenged about their sin and about salvation. Face to face by the providence of God. Look at the miracle at this funeral. See the commencement of this funeral. It says in verse 13, listen, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. At the very commencement of this miracle, you know what it was? You know what touched the heart of Christ? He saw the mother's tears. And when he saw her, I'll tell you, friends, what he saw touched his heart. There she was. She was boiling over, weeping. Tears running down her face. Because it tells us when he saw her, he says, weep not. That was the commencement of the miracle. And I said, any mothers who pray over their children, the Lord sees your tears. The Lord sees them. Weep not, he says. It says here that he came over to the bar, which is a coffin, and he touched it, and he stopped the whole funeral procession. In verse 14, the people, they all stood still. I'm sure they wondered what was happening. Maybe some of these people, maybe all of them, never even had set eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ before. Could you imagine us taking a funeral down to Kilkeel and somebody stops in the middle of the road? You say, what are these boys at? Having no respect? Can they not stand the sides of the road? And all the sort of things would go through their mind. But they all stopped, you see. I'm sure they're wondering what was going to happen. But you know, dear friends, as you read the passage here, we find what happened. There was a voice ran out that everyone around Christ could hear. And he says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. One short voice from Christ entering into the very realms of death. And he says, young man, arise. And you can read what happened. It tells us in verse 15, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him, dear friends, to his mother. Can you imagine this happening in Kilkeel, us going to a funeral, and someone comes over the coffin and touches it and says, get out, and the man gets out of the coffin. Can you imagine the impact, the shock that would have been? Here's this young man brought out of the realms of death. And he was delivered onto his mother. There she was. She's reunited with her son.
dear friends, yet again. It tells us about the attitude of the people in verse 16, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God.
They had never seen the likes of this before. Here was a man who came to this coffin, and he shouts out to this young man, "Arise!" And he gets up, and he's alive. And he's delivered on to his mother.
And he's away home again with his mum. Indeed, he is a man who walked home from his own funeral. And notice this, friend, this is all of grace. It's all done by the grace and the power of Christ.
The young man could not aid him in this at all. There was nobody else in his crowd could help take that young man out of the coffin. And I want to say, all the apostles and the disciples who were with Christ, none of them could help Christ do this.
It was all done by the almighty power of a great Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the great picture, dear friends, of salvation. Have you heard his voice? The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Has the Lord Jesus called you today, who's held in sin, arise, turn away from your sin, come unto me, all you labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest?
He's calling you. How long has he called thee? How many times has he called you? But you will not come to him.
But oh, dear friends, that tonight you'll hear this great command of Christ, arise. That you will be brought out of death. That tonight you will be brought out of your sin. That tonight you will be brought to the feet of Christ, and you will trust him with all of your heart, and you'll be saved by the grace of God.
And dear friends, of any person, the Bible says in John 5 verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him who sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You know, salvation is a miracle. It is a miracle. Every one of us who are saved tonight were just a testimony of the miraculous power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. He touched me, the hymn says. He touched me.
He called me. He has brought me out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. He has saved me.
These are the testimonies of those saints of God in the Bible. Listen, that's a miracle to be saved. Listen tonight, can I say in closing, the Lord can save you. There seemed no hope for this young man. Who would have given this young man any hope? Who would have? Ask the crowd coming out, do you think this young man will live? Not a chance.
Even his mother. All hope was gone for this son.
Maybe you feel like that tonight, some mothers, some fathers, about your children, that all hope is gone. Listen, there's not. We have a great Saviour. There's hope with Christ. This young man was nearly in the grave, but he was rescued by Christ. Keep on praying.
Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Keep on seeking the Lord for our children, for the young people of this church, and for the older people of this church, that they might be saved.
That they might hear his voice and live. Oh, that you would hear the voice of Christ tonight. Oh, that you would come to him. You know, it's a greatest blessing in the world to be saved. What a happy fellow this young lad was as he jumped out of the coffin on the way home. Way back home to his family, to his dear mother. Oh, dear friends, we pray tonight that the Lord will touch you. And you'll go home with your family, saved by the grace of God. That prayers tonight will be answered. That you'll hear his voice. That you will obey the voice of the Lord Jesus.
that you will trust Him, that you will come to Him, that you will repent from your sin and be saved. Oh, be saved, the hymn says. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. The man who walked home from his own funeral. You're in a position tonight. You've been carried and led to hell. Oh, that you might be delivered from sin. Oh, that you would come to Christ and He will save you. And His blood will wash you and make you whiter than the snow. If God has spoken to anyone's heart, you'd like to be saved. We cannot save you, but God's servants to help you, to show unto you the way of salvation. Do speak with us. And we trust the Lord will draw you unto Himself. And you'll be saved by His grace. Let's close in prayer. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for what we have read tonight in thy word. We thank you for this wonderful miracle performed by a great Savior, Lord Jesus. And Father, there seemed no hope for this young man until he met Christ. Thank God the Lord Jesus took him from death, breathed life into his body. And this young man was alive. Lord, do it for sinners tonight. Realize and acknowledge for those who are unsaved amongst us, being carried to the grave, being carried down towards hell. Lord, may they meet with you tonight. May you halt their possession. May you stop them in their tracks. May you touch them, Lord, by thy hand. May you speak to their hearts by thy voice. May, Lord, by thy power, raise them from the dead. And bring them to yourself. Lord, what joy will fill our hearts tonight to hear souls been saved. Would you do it? Would you touch hearts? Would you deal with the unsaved? Thank you for the gospel service. Write your word upon the hearts, even all of your people. Be with us now as we go our separate ways. Bless those of us who remain for the young people's fellowship. Bless the word of testimony and the word of God to our hearts. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen.